This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Happy Tuesday. Josh Furner joins us in about 15 minutes. We'll talk to him. We'll get to On the Come as well as we combine a lot of Monday and a Tuesday because we had the day off. A lot of you did as well. Hope you had a good holiday weekend. Took advantage of what you could. It is a Tuesday here on 96.5. The Fan. Royals in action tonight at 6:40. Brady Singer on the mound. A kid from Florida was first-round pick for the Royals. Number one overall pick for the Royals. Just didn't pan out. Now he's in Cincinnati. See, they got this India guy. He was also for the Cincinnati Reds as well. Now he plays for the Royals. I do love that theory. What if India does just blast one to start the
game? Oh, yeah. Lead-off home run for Jonathan India tonight. Mark the tape, just in case we do have that, though. Let's call it right now. Jonathan India leadoff home run against Brady Singer.
I would love
it. Right?
I would call you immediately. I leave it, Bob. It wouldn't be PBS. I'd be calling you about it. It'd be the Royals.
It was fun last night, PBS. Yes.
Yeah. We should have gone.
Yeah. Nice little concert out in front of Union Station they were televising
last
night.
Like opera music, too.
Like they had the symphony or something out there like that. And they were rocking it. I think it was Sunday night, actually.
I'd have gotten numb on the gum.
I mean, that would have been fun.
No doubt. So you brought up a topic of lock them up. 913-586-7965. That's the text line. We brought this up to you all as well. Who's the next KC athlete you'd lock up?
Yeah, because you got Bobby locked up and you've got Patrick Mahomes locked
tags
up, right?
Right now.
Right? And I kind of jokingly said that, but it's not a dumb move, right?
Cheap.
Somebody recently did that in baseball. Was it Boston this year? They signed their guy to like a $60 million, $80 million contract. Oh, and why? Well, the reason is because if you think that these guys are going to be like Bobby Witt, $300 million a year guys, and you can lock them up for $80 million a year, it's a win for everybody involved. They get money, you get a guy locked up, and hopefully he does pan out, you know? Right. And for that guy, he's gotten paid early, and he's got his money, and he can feel good about himself and the organization and take that pressure off.
To be fair to your point, they got lucky with Bobby. Imagine they didn't sign him the year they did.
I mean, my God.
Signed him this year instead of last year.
Imagine that a year later, how much more money Bobby would have cost him.
$100 million.
Yeah, easy. Mm-hmm. Easy, $100 more million. And so what you're looking at is, it makes short-term sense. No, long-term sense. If you believe Caglione is the guy, and I'm not just talking about the Royals. I'm talking about both sides of the parking lot here, because the two major people in the organizations are signed, locked up. They're ready to go. And we're going to start to get to that next level of, all right, who's going to be that next guy? Who's going to be the running mate for Bobby? And quite frankly, who's going to be the new running mate for Patrick after this year? Doesn't have to be an offensive guy either. Right. And so that's why I think like the Cags thing is 95% ha ha ha, but there is that 5% like,
well, now you say something.
Yeah. It's like the Paul Skeens trade right now. Pittsburgh is stupid for not trading Paul Skeens because they're a bad baseball team with Paul Skeens. You're not going to be a good baseball team unless you invest in your ball club. They've chosen not to do that. They've never shown that they would. You trade your biggest chip, get a bunch of young prospects back in return. That's the smart baseball move.
And do you really think in the 3.5 years left of arbitration that you're going to be a franchise that can dominate with one guy?
With Paul? No, you're not. They've not shown that.
Even, what is it? Is it not Tyler O'Neill, but
O'Neill Cruz. Love that guy too, man.
They got him as well. And they got another guy as well. And they're not winning.
They're not winning.
And their fans don't care.
Right. That's exactly right. You're not
winning.
They're more
interested if Rodgers is going to be their starting quarterback or if it's going to be
Duck Hodges or if it's going to be Mason Rudolph.
Okay, we're 100 days to the start of the NFL season. Pittsburgh doesn't have a quarterback, and Paul Skeens wants to be traded. O'Neill Cruz, I love that guy. I think he's a phenomenal baseball player. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. So that would be a smart baseball move. A smart baseball move is signing Cags if you want to go that route. But ultimately, the next guy for me is Mikel Garcia. He is now the catalyst of this offense. He is why things work on this team right now. And I'm not just saying that based on this year. I liked him 2 years ago. I liked him last year when he wasn't playing well and everybody was kind of down on him, but I really like him now this year. Where would this team be without Mikel Garcia? I think he's the next one when you start to look at guys in Kansas City to pay. Mikel Garcia tops my list.
So you took the baseball approach. I take the football approach. I think it's Trent McDuffie.
I don't hate that either.
He bucks the trend of normal cornerback lifestyles here in Kansas City. Legarius Sneed, obviously, fourth-round pick out of Louisiana Tech. Wasn't going to be here for very long. You got what you wanted out of him.
He's going to want to play again. Who knows?
Made a bunch of big plays here in Kansas City. He was one of the best corners that we've seen in the last decade. Let him go to Tennessee. Didn't work out last year for Tennessee, at least that year. Charvarius Ward's another one. Got him like in what, like a trade? Didn't even know he was on the roster. All of a sudden, he becomes this great corner underneath the Spags system. Brett Veach found another one. This one's a little bit different. You got McDuffie in the draft at a high pick. He's been a generational talent. He is locked up wide receiver ones. He's got Jamar Chase's number. We'll see what other people's numbers he can acquire. He's the next guy on the Chiefs roster that I think is the name that goes out there where they're like, what are we doing with McDuffie, man? The season's getting ready to start. It's coming. We've seen guys before go way late into training camp, and all of a sudden they wake up the next morning. Trent McDuffie locked up for 4.5 years with the Kansas City Chiefs. Star corner, got paid, got his money. Plus, you look at what he does in the community. You look at his attitude. You look at his demeanor. You look at everything that he presents. He's the total package of what I think you want your franchise to keep around for many, many years. Could go down as the greatest corner in Kansas City Chiefs history.
Look, I don't think that's a stretch to say at all, and I don't think what I'm going to say is a stretch either. He's the Patrick Mahomes of your defense right now.
That's fair.
And he gives
Over
you
Bolton?
Everything. Absolutely. Yeah, he gives you everything you want. He plays more of a premier position. You
Over
know
Jones?
Yeah, okay. Because Jones is more on the downside of his career. He's closer to leaving. I'm not rushing Chris Jones out the door, but you know where I am.
And he's a year older than Mahomes.
Yeah, right. But playing defensive line versus quarterback
right.
in this league is night and day. It's funny. Chris Jones is ready to retire out of this thing, and Patrick Mahomes is ready to take that next step in his career, but he's going to need that younger running mate with him on the defensive side. And I think Trent McDuffie kind of sets that tone from the defensive side of the football. He's the guy that you want out there being the leader. He's the guy that you want repping your town. He's the guy that you want doing all the stuff that you need guys to do off the field. He's the perfect player for all of that. Wants to be here in Kansas City. He's a superstar player, a superstar human being. And so, I would absolutely lock him up and make him Patrick Mahomes' running mate for the next 10 years. If you can keep a corner, involved for that long, maybe a little bit difficult just based on, science and life and all that kind of stuff and father time. But he's the guy on the defensive side. Him and Patrick Mahomes can be a nice little duo.
Side conversations happened this weekend with Cags doing his thing because I went inside to the house we were at whenever it was, I think, Saturday. I go to my buddy. I was like, he did it again. And my buddy goes, Cags, 2 in 1 day? I said, yeah, 2 in 1 day.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, the water coolers talk start to happen. And a buddy of mine goes, what do we do with Pubich? And I said, what do you mean?
Trade his ass.
He said, no, not this year. What do you do with Pubich? And I said, well, it depends on how he is this year. He's got a year and a half left of arbitration. This has been his first real big year. We can all agree, him and Scoobal and the guy that you mentioned earlier for the
Max Fried.
Boy, look at Atlanta just not doing the right thing, getting rid of Freeman and Fried. And then Acuna came back this weekend.
Yeah, right. And then hit a home run the first pitch he saw.
And the next game. So I think that with Bubic, you hope that he's not going to, demand money this offseason. I don't know why he wouldn't. You got another year of arbitration.
The arbitration will be interesting to see because if you go to arbitration, you're going to lose if you're the Royals, no matter what you say, because of how good Bubic has been pitching.
So I asked you this because of your theory with Cags. Do you try to get Bubic out of the way as soon as possible and think that this could be the next 4 or 5 years as a lefty in your starting rotation?
You mean sign him? See, I would be looking to trade Chris Bubic right now this offseason because you got one more year of arbitration, obviously, so you got one more year of controllability with him, and he's going to bring you the most value back in return, and that's what the Royals need right now. They need that, let's just say they need their Cole Reagans from an offensive standpoint, right? They need to make that kind of move that's going to bring us back a guy like Cole Reagans that can be that young guy, that controllable guy, that back bat that's going to be the future with Bobby and Cags and with Vinny, you know, in that lineup. I still think you have to go out and make your team better where it's weak this offseason, and it's still going to be an offensively challenged team regardless of what they do, whether it's bringing up Cags, going out and getting another bat. They're still going to be an offensively challenged team going into this offseason. You always want to trade from your strengths, and the bigger your strengths that you trade from are, the better return you're going to get back as well. And so I think Chris Bubich is as valuable trade chip as he is anything for this team right now.
Right, because your core, I think, right now is Vinny, Bobby, Sal. Garcia should be considered part of the core. Maybe Cags will be part of that. And then one of these minor leaguers, Lofton, or maybe it's Rave, maybe, I don't know. And Waters might be becoming part of that core because you got to build for the future. Is Bubich part of that core? Because Lugo's going to opt out after this year.
And that's the fair point, too. You got some guys that are coming towards the end, right?
Who knows if Waka's going to hang around.
Right.
Lorenzo may not be with this team next year. And then you got Cole Reagans coming back. And it's like, well, who do you partner with Reagans? Like, well, you're kind of handcuffed because you got to go with Bubich.
And that's a great point, Dusty, that you have a lot of these guys that aren't going to be back next year. But you still got to figure out a way to make your ball club better. And maybe Bubich does become an expendable part for this team.
No doubt about it. Coming up on the other side, we'll get to On the Come. And then right after that, we'll get to Josh Vernier, whose pregame show starts tonight at 5:30 here on 96.5 The Fan. You're listening to the home of Kansas City Sports. All right, Nathan.
On the come.
Two times.
On the come.
All right, who's on your come, Bob?
This week for me, it is pretty simple because I watched him over the weekend. Tarik Skubal.
I hate that team. I hate Detroit.
I was late to the Tarik Skubal party. I know Vernal attested. I know I was very late to it last year, very late to it at the beginning of the year last year. I'm no longer late to this party. That's like watching, they compared him to Greg Maddux in that start that he had the other day because
Greg
of
Maddux
the way
didn't hose it at 102.
No, but I mean, this guy was pitching, man. Yeah. Like it was like just
they
sick.
Call that shoving.
Yeah, right. Yeah. The kids call it shoving. The old heads like me, that guy was a pitcher out there today. He didn't worry about the stats. He just pitched. And I mean, he's been outstanding. The Tigers now are 15 games over 500.
That's
and
right.
Starting to run away with the division and looking like maybe the best team in the American League. This side of the Yankees. So Tarik Skubal for me is the guy that is on the come.
On the come.
Mine would be Ronald Acuna.
Ooh,
boy, that guy feels like he's been out for a decade. Obviously had the injury last year early in the season, missed the entire season, was the MVP, the reigning defending MVP. Came back, first pitch he saw, yammers to left field. Hold my beer.
Yes.
I'll come back night two and do it again. Ronald Acuna, just an absolute bona fide stud and a certified G. Boy, has Atlanta missed him as we've seen them kind of slip towards what they were when they won the World Series with all those talented players.
Yeah.
Then they lose Free. They lose Acuna. They come back down to earth. He comes back, says, hey, boys, how you been? You miss me? Let me show you how much you miss me.
It's great, too, when you have an athlete like that and you're going to the game as a fan and they put on a show for you.
No doubt.
I mean, like, that's worth the price of admission right there. To go to that game, you're excited, you're hoping you can see something cool, and Acuna delivers on the first pitch. I mean, that's awesome, man.
On the come.
Hey, guys, I know we talked a lot about the Royals out-hitting the Twins but not out-scoring the Twins, and I understand it has to come with runners in scoring position. But Vinny Pasquantino, over the last 10 games, is hitting above 400. He's brought that OPS up by almost 100 points. And over the weekend, since Friday at Target Field, he's 10 for his last 16. Vinny Pasquantino for me.
On the come. Welcome back to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
Long time listener and supporter of you because you tell it like it is.
Here's our Royals insider, Josh Vernier.
That's right. I wish this guy somehow was my brother, but he's my brother from another mother, whether you like it or not. Vern, welcome to the show on a Tuesday. I hope you had a good weekend dodging some bullets on the text line. Vern, I got to ask you this. How many people have been asking you to get rid of Zumi?
That hasn't happened in a while. Ooh. I would say that, that really jumped off at the end of April. But no, I haven't heard.
Good.
Well, first of all, not many people know the name of the hitting coach.
That is
true.
They
call up and Vern, fire the hitting coach, and I say, well, they have three of them. Is there one in particular? And all of them. So, okay. No, yeah. That hasn't happened.
What happened, though, Vern, in baseball? We used to know the pitching coach and the hitting coach, and I love the fact that you said that because I'm right there with him. Like, who are these guys again? Like, what has happened in baseball where we don't know who these ancillary figures are?
Well, staffs are so big now, right? Yeah. Three hitting coaches, a hitting department. The Royals have, you know, three pitching coaches as well, and a pitching department, and a senior director of pitching, and a senior director of hitting. Again, when you have 26 players, 13 hitters, and 13 pitchers.
You need a coach for everybody.
When there's this much money being invested into them, you want to make sure that you have someone that can connect with every player. Not everybody is the same. Not everybody gets along with the same hitting coach. Doesn't necessarily get along with the same pitching coach. Give them a few options so maybe they can connect with someone on that level.
Vern, the text line, or not the text line, the Kurt Likens text line. You know that guy. I've given you all the stories.
He hates me.
No, he doesn't hate you. He hates getting walked off. He almost cussed this week and says, I hate these effing walk-offs. It's making me sick.
I'm with him.
Emoji face.
I was
with, like,
set up for
words.
Another one on Sunday, man. I was not confident on Sunday.
No, but here's what I want to ask you, because I know I always go back to how you preach it, which is speed, defense, base running, and pitching. That's what this is going to make this team go far as possible that they want to go. There's been a lot of issues, it seems, with base running with this baseball club over the last month.
And defense.
Yeah.
I mean, India's booting the ball left and right, no matter where you put him. Mikel with a strange, easy-to-turn-the-page error from yesterday. But base running, again, when you're – and listen, I heard what J.J. had to say about the base running issues when asked about it last week on Cody and Gold. And, you know, he makes the, I'm sure, correct point of – when an offense is struggling as mightily as this one is, and it is, 55 games into the season, there's never been a Royals offense in franchise history that has scored as little as this 2025 Royals offense. They surpassed the mark set by the expansion Royals back in 1969. So again, this offense, understandably, is pressing. I think you're seeing that from Bob over the past few days, expanding the zone somewhat. When you're hitting that poorly, when you're not coming through in big moments at the dish, maybe you try to make something happen on the base pass. Maybe that's an explanation for some of the mistakes on the base pass, but some of them, it's just a lack of fundamentals. And for a team that prides itself, like you mentioned, pitching, defense, and team speed, the defense this season at best has been top half of Major League Baseball. The base running's been bottom half of Major League Baseball. You can't be bad, in my opinion. If you want to win the division, you can't be bad in multiple facets. And right now, the Royals are a bad offense and a bad base running team. One of those two things needs to get cleaned up if you're going to stay in this division race. Now, you can be bad at two things and still get into the playoffs when you have a rotation this strong, a player as good as Bobby, hopefully another one on the come in Jack Caglione. But if you want to track down Detroit, obviously the offense needs to improve, but the base running needs to get cleaned up starting tomorrow.
Well, and starting today, starting yesterday, those are the things that you can't have go wrong, because I don't know, Vern, I think it's easier to control your defense and to control your base running than it is to control your hitting. And they always say, if you have a bad at bat, it shouldn't carry over into the field or whatever the case may be. It seems like all of that now is starting to have a big impact on this team, and rightfully so. We're past Memorial Day now. It's okay to have real life conversations about our baseball team.
Yeah, 55 games into the season, it's not a small sample size anymore, especially when so many of the names on this team, guys that we're relying upon to get you back to the postseason, are the same names that we saw last year. And for the most part, this is a very familiar script as far as how this team's going to win on a nightly basis. Pitching, defense, and
special
clutch
teams,
base hits. But right now, if I was to ask you guys, man on second base with two outs, obviously Bobby's the first choice. other than Bobby Witt Jr., who are your three bats that you want at the plate?
Oh, right, see, you gave me three because the easy answer for me is Mikel Garcia. I'm taking him first, second, and third at this point in time. Other than that, give me Garcia. He's the guy, you know, we always talk about, Vern, who do you want to take the last second shot, right, in basketball? Yeah. Who do you want at the plate with a runner in scoring position and the game on the line? For me, it's Garcia right now.
In all honesty, Vern, I'd take Garcia. If I could answer three, I'd take Garcia, Isbell, and Vinny.
Okay, I thought Fermin might make it because to me, Freddie might be my number two.
That's a good one.
Yeah, I'll put Vinny in the three spot, but that just goes to show you where this team is, and you dive into the numbers and you look at how poor this team has performed in those money situations. I heard Nathan mention Vinny just a second ago, and even he prefaced it with, I know he needs to get it done with runners in scoring position. Yeah, Vinny's been outstanding here in the month of May. But last year, again, I hate to keep going back to last year, but last year's offense, the Royals' offense was middle of the road, right? 15th, 16th in Major League Baseball. But in the big moments, they were top five, right? Top five OPS in Major League Baseball when it comes to hitting with runners in scoring position. Salvi, Vinny, and Bobby were three of the 15 best in the sports. This year, Vinny is hitting below 200. With runners in scoring position. Salvi ranks, you know, like 150th out of 167 qualified hitters. So for an offense that we knew coming into the season was going to follow the recipe from a season ago, and that was, we're not a great offense, but in the big moments, we're going to execute. They're not executing, save the Venezuelans in Freddie Fermin and Mikel Garcia. Everyone else has been a pretty colossal disappointment in the big moments, and that's why when you dive into the season-long numbers, they are historically bad when it comes to scoring runs, but in almost every other offensive statistic, yeah, they're bad, but they're not all-time bad. They just can't push those runs across. They're gripping the bat too tight, and they're just failing to execute in the big moments.
And it's also two runners on third and less than two outs for, and I looked at this stat about 2 weeks ago. They're hitting almost 100 points less than where they were a season ago. If they just cleaned that up, they'd be so much better from an offensive standpoint.
And it's really just those three guys, Bob, which is wild and maybe unfair to put all the pressure on them. And that's where Jonathan India was supposed to be coming up clutch this season. I mean, if you can imagine classic Jonathan India to go along with Mikel, classic Salvi, Vinny, and Bobby, that's a pretty strong 1-5. But everyone, I mean, you hate to say that Bobby's disappointing. He's still one of the five best players in the sport, according to Fangraphs. But offensively, he's no longer the second best offensive player in the American League behind Aaron Judge. Right now, he's one of the top 10, one of the top 15. It's still outstanding. Still can't wait to watch him tonight against Brady Singer. But everyone in this lineup, outside of your guy Mikel, is, and I guess I should mention Dusty, Kyle Isbell, you're right about him as well. Outside of those guys, everyone has disappointed mightily through 55 games.
Something that's not disappointed, Vern, don't worry, I hosed myself down this weekend. What was the weekend for Jack Caglione from a guy from Josh Vernia?
Awesome. And, you know, anyone that is, you know, fighting the excitement is silly. You know, even JJ yesterday, talking with him, five home runs in your first week at AAA is jaw-dropping.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and Bob, you mentioned this earlier, you're 100% right when it comes to that Salt Lake City elevation. On average, those games saw almost 16 runs scored a night.
Wow.
Over the course of those six games. So, still, five home runs.
Still nuts.
10 RBI, 9 hits in six games is still outstanding. Just give me another week.
Okay.
You know, let's entertain the people in Omaha. Let's make sure you guys have a nice weekend. And you know, he does it again. There is no argument come next Monday. I know it's silly to say 2 weeks of AAA baseball, but again, if he can duplicate what he did in Salt Lake, I don't think he's going to be able to. But if he can, shoot, I probably shouldn't put that out there. If he can duplicate it, I just don't know what the argument would be a week from today. But no. 1 week is certainly not enough for me to give him the green light. But I'm not missing an at-bat coming up tonight. I'll tell you that right now.
wow, a week away potentially of getting Jack Caglione on this roster, right?
Nine hits in this week. If he hits another five home runs, I mean, if he is the guy that he was in Salt Lake, again, that's pretty obscene, but I'm not going to put a ceiling on him. I hope it happens. I'm not expecting it. Again, my dream scenario has always been dominate AA for the month, dominate AAA for a month and a half, 2 months, and then you join an offense and a team that is steamrolling towards the postseason. I mean, the thing that's tough is if Cags is on the team, let's say tonight, and I'm putting together my ideal lineup, I mean, the guy's probably hitting fifth. And, you know, hitting fifth, that means you're coming up with ducks on the pond twice, maybe three times a night. That's an awful lot of pressure to put on the 22-year-old that, listen, he might be able to handle it. I was pretty impressed with his mentality dating back to spring training, but he's never really faced adversity, right?
Right.
When was the last time he faced adversity? I mean, he's huge, good-looking, and really good at baseball. I mean, in what aspect of his life? I don't know what's going on family-wise, but
you're right.
Where has he struggled? And you know that's coming because even Bobby struggled. I remember a couple of years ago, people calling into the post-game show saying maybe Bobby should be optioned to AAA, let him clear his head.
Clear his head a little bit, yeah. That's always
the
good one.
They turn on everybody. They'll turn on Jack just as quickly.
Oh, they will. But let me ask you this, because I said it earlier. I said maybe they made a mistake by not bringing him up at the start of the season, because now with this offense where it is, regardless of who you are as a fan, you want Jack Caglione to pull an Acuna and hit a home run in that first at bat.
Yeah.
I think the pressure's now more for Jack Caglione than it would have been had he come up on opening day, just based on the way that this season has gone. And that's not Cags' fault or anything like that. That's everybody else not producing.
Yeah. 2 points to that. One, front office-wise, if he's on the opening day roster, you could get an additional draft pick if he finishes top three for the Rookie of the Year this year, if he finishes top three in the MVP for the following two seasons. So to that point, yeah, that you can make a case that reflects poorly on the decision-making of the organization to not have him on the opening day roster, right? They get an additional draft pick this year because Bobby finished top three for MVP last year, and he was on the opening day roster back in 2022. So before his 3 years are up, he finishes top three, and you get that additional pick. Yes, as far as the front office, and then as far as the pressure that Cags would feel from the fan base if he's to make his debut, well, no matter when he makes his debut, there's going to be an immense amount of pressure on him. The issue is, and to your point about the offense, they're more than a Jack Caglione away.
Right.
You know, even if Cags is the guy that we hope, even if he is the left-handed Pete Alonso, and you plug him into your cleanup spot and don't worry about it for the next six seasons, they still need someone else, in my opinion. Until Jonathan India shows up, they need somebody else offensively. Bobby, Vinny, Cags and Michael is not enough. Salvi needs to pick it up with runners in scoring position. Jonathan India needs to show up. And then to win the division, you probably still need that outside bat to come in there and allow you to move Cags down in the lineup, allow you to move a 35-year-old catcher out of the cleanup spot. If anything has been apparent through the first 55 games when it comes to this offense, they're more than one bat shy of being a division champion.
And when will those bats start to become available with the rest of baseball? I know here we are now officially into that, you know, second third of the season. June begins this weekend. Memorial Day is now in the rearview mirror. Will we start to see some of these teams loosen up a little bit and start to wave that white flag where the Royals can swoop in and maybe make a deal for a major league bat?
Yeah, I still think we're a month away from that. You mentioned Tarek Skubal a moment ago. Remember what the Tigers did last season? I mean, last year at the trade deadline, there were people even in Detroit clamoring for the Tigers to trade Tarek Skubal and jumpstart their turnaround. And, you know, thankfully for the fans of Motown, they didn't do that. Skubal wins the Cy Young. They go deep into the postseason, and they look to be one of the best teams in Major League Baseball so far in 2025. So, no, with the additional playoff spots, the additional wild cards, it's having the effect that all the owners hoped that it would. It's keeping fans interested in their team a little bit longer than it would have been years previous. So no, I'm still looking towards the end of June before any sort of impact bat is brought into this lineup. Now, impact being the key word, right? You can have your spark plugs and John Rave. You can have a spark plug maybe in Nick Lofton, if you want to say that. Maybe a waiver wire claim, some bench player, AAA player in another organization that the Royals prize more than that current organization, right? Maybe, again, maybe JJ can pull the rabbit out of the hat like he has each of the past two seasons. Cole Reagans wasn't on everyone's radar. It wasn't an obvious upgrade for your rotation back in 23, same way Lucas Urseg was last season. That wasn't the obvious choice to improve a bullpen. You know, it might not be the obvious choice to improve the offense. JJ and that staff have done a great job since taking over, and I expect nothing different this year, so go find them. Go find them ASAP, and if you know, there isn't that diamond in the rough buried in a AAA team somewhere around Major League Baseball, well then, we just got to sit around and wait for the trade deadline to inch closer, hope that Jack Caglione stays red hot at AAA, and pray that Jonathan India and Salvador Perez remember who they are.
You mentioned going to get an outside bat. What would the Royals have to give up, like a name that maybe they would give up for that outside bat?
You know, I think you have enough in the minor leagues, to be quite honest with you. But as far as the big league names, I mean, you saw yesterday Michael Lorenzen. You wish that performance was a little bit better because of what Noah Cameron's done. JJ saying on Sunday that as it currently stands, when Reagans and Lugo return, Cameron's likely heading back to Omaha because they want to keep him as a starting pitcher. So ideally, Lorenzen returns to the form that we saw throughout the month of April. You can flip him, not necessarily for that impact bat, but you can flip him for something that could help you offensively, even if it is just a spark plug on the bench, a way to improve that Nick Lofton spot, the 13th man on the roster. You know, the Chris Bubich, the Seth Lugo conversation, it's certainly worth having, but I would like to think you don't need to make that drastic of a subtraction from the big league club to improve the offense. I think they have enough in the minor leagues.
Fern, you got Brady Singer tonight. Some lucky fans that listen to your pitch clock segment got to go to that game because they won tickets tonight. They can do the same thing around 5:45-ish, I would say, and get a chance to see Moose get retired or Royal. A lot of emotions this week at the K.
Yeah, and Saturday's game, not only does Moose retire a Royal, but Tarek Skubal scheduled to square off with Chris Bubich.
Yep.
I mean, that's going to be the best pitching matchup of the weekend.
No doubt.
All around Major League Baseball, so I can't wait for that. And yeah, they'll have a chance to win a pair of tickets coming up tonight, beginning at 5:30.
What do you want to see tonight from the squad after yesterday's game?
Oh, man. To be honest with you, I'm such a Brady Singer fan. I'm hoping that this game is 0-0 heading to the seventh, and then the Royals win it in the end. Had a chance to catch up with Brady yesterday. Nothing but great things to say about the Royals, about Kansas City, about the team. Just love that dude, his competitiveness, and his unwillingness to go along with "we stink," right? His entire time at Kansas City, for the most part, they stunk. But Brady always carried himself like a winner. So I'm rooting for him tonight. I hope the Royals come out on top, but I'm just hoping this weather clears up and we get a good game.
Yeah, we got to pray for some sunshine.
Yeah, we need some sunshine for all of us, man.
It's a vitamin D, man.
No doubt.
All right, Vern, rock your Pasquantino necklace tonight with the chest hair rocking out and get ready for that show at 5:30.
You want me to grab you one of those, Big Dog?
If you could.
You got it.
The sister would appreciate that very much.
Oh, well, then you got it.
Okay, I appreciate that. Summer will love you forever, Vern, as I always do. And 5:30 tonight, Brady Singer on the mound. The way you see Brady Singer is the way that I see you. So have a good show tonight, man, and we'll hope for two wins against these Reds.
Well, I love you, Dusty. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, Vern. That is Josh Vernier, our Royals insider here on 96.5 The Fan.
Do you want it or not?
Go ahead.
We got an Aaron Rodgers update. We can give it to you on the other side.
Hit it, Nathan. All right. Boss always says, Radio 101, you pay off your tees. Where's Littlefinger going?
I don't know that he's going anywhere, but this according to Adam Schefter.
Oh. That guy just doesn't stop.
Well, it's 100 days to the first game. I mean, OTAs are beginning today.
Hose it down, Adam.
Are you ready for this?
Yeah, waiting.
I'm not ready for this.
Why?
I don't think anybody wants this. Schefter this morning on Get Up apparently is a show on ESPN.
Sure is.
It's May 27th, and their first game's not until September 7th when they play the Jets, Schefter said on Tuesday morning. So I would say they're willing to wait until September 7th.
Oh. And who is waiting until September 7th?
The Steelers.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I got to be honest with you. You look like a total...
Get ready, Nathan. Get it ready.
A lot of words I can't say that I want to say. Like, you look like a total... God, what's the word that I want to use here? You're an embarrassment if you're waiting as an NFL franchise for Aaron Rodgers. You should be ashamed of yourselves if you're waiting for Aaron Rodgers. You need to draw a line in the sand and have a cutoff date if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers. Grow some balls. Seriously, grow some balls and tell Aaron Rodgers you have until June 7th. And if you're not here by June 7th, so what? We'll make it work with Mason Rudolph, or we'll make a trade for Jameis Winston, or we'll figure it out in a way to get Kirk Cousins here. Like, everybody knows that Aaron Rodgers isn't that good and should not be a quarterback that is holding up an NFL franchise from moving forward. This is not Patrick Mahomes. This is not Josh Allen. This isn't even Joe Burrow at this point in time, or Lamar Jackson. We're talking about a washed up, has-been quarterback that hasn't been good in 2 years, and the only reason he's been relevant is because he destroyed a franchise, got people fired who will never work in the NFL again, brought all his buddies into New York, blew out his Achilles tendon, went on Pat McAfee show, has done nothing on the football field in more than two calendar years, and the Pittsburgh Steelers, according to Schefter, are willing to wait till September 7th for this guy? You've lost your way if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers, man. Yeah. Move on from this guy. Draw a line of sand. Say, you got till June 7th, man. Dump or get off the pot or lick a toad.
Lick a toad. I don't know. I just think it's par for the course. Why wouldn't you wait until the actual end? Because what was it? Mac thought he was going to announce that he was coming back the night before the draft, or an hour before the draft.
Yeah.
Right?
Or the day before or something, yeah. You know?
And then now we're just, don't really know what to expect. So I don't know why Pittsburgh would wait around. I mean, I know there's not a whole lot of options out there unless you make a trade at the last minute for somebody. But yeah, good for him making his career go longer.
Yeah, good for him. But I mean, for the Pittsburgh Steelers I'm talking about, stop embarrassing yourselves.
At what point does Tomlin have the clout to walk into the owner's office and say enough?
I think probably he does at this point in time. And if he hasn't done that already, I mean, what's he waiting on, right?
Say, how much do you put on that on Tomlin?
I think there's enough to put on Tomlin. But also, too, man, like, this is the Steelers as an organization. This is what they do. They're not in a hurry to do anything. They've had three coaches in basically the lifespan of the NFL that they've had. I mean, go back to the 50s and 60s, and here we are today. They've had three coaches. So it's not like they move fast on things, but eventually you have to have some pride in yourself, sure. Right? I mean, think about it this way, Dusty. We've all been there. Nathan, I'm sure you've been there as well. I've been there. I know you've been there, and I'm sure you've been. We've all been played by a girl, right? We all do that, and we lose our dignity. We lose our self-esteem. That's what's happening with the Pittsburgh Steelers right now. They're being played like a guy, being played like a girl. Oh, she's so hot, I can't do without her. You know what? There's going to be another girl that comes by. She's probably going to be better. Maybe not in the near term, but potentially in the long term, a lot better than what you're dealing with right now. It's okay to have some dignity. The Pittsburgh Steelers have no dignity right now that they're waiting on this guy, a has-been, a hasn't been in years, to be their quarterback of their franchise. They're really embarrassing right now.
Hate to see it. Other things you hate to see, Caitlin Clark out for at least 2 weeks with a quad strain, according to the team and, of course, to the ESPN article that was written. I think this is crucial because the season's just starting and it's starting to get rolling and you've already had a few fireworks. And to me, the comp that I could see is all these networks that probably paid for her to be on because she was going to be playing. They were going to have her on, you know, maybe it'd be ABC or maybe it was going to be ESPN2, whatever it might have been, whatever it is on a national perspective is a huge gain for that sport. To me, I looked at this as, I wonder if this is the same equivalent. I know she hasn't accomplished anything, so please don't get my words twisted here, text signer listeners. I know she's not on the same level, but when it comes to the face of the league, the face of the NFL is Patrick Mahomes. What do we say when the schedule release came out? Five of their first eight games are primetime television. Yeah. Imagine Patrick Mahomes getting hurt in the second week of the season. You know, plays the Philadelphia game or plays the Friday game against the Chargers. Gets hurt in the third quarter.
misses all the games up until the bye. You miss four primetime games. You miss the matchup against Buffalo. Those television networks, those fans that are fans of the sport, will be drawn away.
They're going to be flexing a lot of games.
Or
they'd
be upset because that person's not there. I think this is sort of where Caitlin Clark is moving towards. Now, she's got a lot more to accomplish to get on the level of Patrick Mahomes, obviously. And the WNBA is not the NBA or the NFL. But again, I'm saying this from a perspective of ratings from what this league is. Right now, they have one strong force. That force is going to be out for 2 to 3 weeks. And there is a fever in the WNBA, and it's high right now.
Well, I think, look, quite honestly, it's worse than losing Patrick Mahomes because football fans are still going to watch. You're not necessarily just watching the NFL for one guy, right? The WNBA, at this point in time, we're watching for Caitlin Clark. At this point in time, the television ratings will tell you that. The ticket sales will tell you that. Teams move out of their arena to bigger arenas when the fever comes to town. On May 28th, they're playing the Washington Mystics. That game's been moved to a larger arena in Baltimore. They're playing the Chicago Sky on June 7th. That game's been moved to the United Center.
And that's the rematch.
And that's the rematch, right, exactly. Washington normally plays at an arena which seats 4,000 fans. They're moving to this one in Baltimore that seats 14,000 fans. The same thing with the United Center. The stadium which they normally play in Chicago, 10,400 fans. United Center, 21,000 fans, the largest arena among NBA arenas. So she has the drawing power. So to take it one step further than you, I think it's bigger than losing Patrick Mahomes. I think it's bigger than losing Shohei Ohtani or Aaron Judge or Connor McDavid or anybody like that that's looked at as the biggest star in sports, because people will still go and watch their team. The WNBA hasn't established itself yet as a league that people will watch because they love their team. They watch because they love Caitlin Clark, and rightfully so. And that's why I look at these next 2 weeks as a major opportunity for the WNBA. How are they going to market it without her? How are they going to have success without her? And then are these 2 weeks going to make them realize that she is the most important thing to happen to this league, and she's more important to the league than the league is to her? The league needs her more than she needs the league at this point in time.
That's fair. That's fair. And I thought Nathan brought up a good point too. Like, imagine, you know, you bought tickets for your kids and you're going to go watch a game. Like, now what do you do? Like, yeah. Oh, well, she's not here. Because it was interesting. My buddy.
What sucks.
Right. And I mean, there's nothing you can do about it except maybe just try to make a day out of what the game will be. And maybe you'll get to at least see her on the bench as, you know, the second place prize. But it was interesting because my buddy was in town in Lee's Summit and they were eating at a local establishment. They came by and said hi on their way out of town. Mm-hmm. And I had obviously a parlay on Caitlin Clark on this game this night. They came in, TV's on, it's Caitlin Clark and their two kids are in there, and both kids are just glued to the TV.
Yeah.
Why? Because they knew who was playing. That was an 8-year-old and a 6-year-old watching the TV. No relevance to sports, but they knew who Caitlin Clark was. So, like, the generation is growing.
Yeah.
It's very, very fresh.
And
it is starting, and something like this is not necessarily going to knock you completely dead, but I'm wondering if, like, 2 to 3 weeks out will deaden the vibe up more. But again, she's Caitlin Clark. She does a lot of stuff. She'll come back in her first game, put up 35, 10, and 10, and everybody be like, she's back. I'm locked in again.
Yeah,
who knows?
There's only been really a couple instances, at least in my lifetime, and I say fringe lifetime at that, where you look at an athlete that's bigger than the sport. Jordan ended up being bigger than the NBA. Tiger was bigger than golf, and Caitlin Clark is bigger than the WNBA. And right now, until they figure out a way to take that next step without Caitlin Clark, she still will be bigger than the WNBA. And there's nothing wrong with saying that. It's hope, and this could be the greatest thing to happen to the WNBA, for her to get hurt and then realizing, how do we pivot? How do we grow this league without our biggest star? Because now we've got 2 weeks to do so. And if they can't figure things out and it's only 2 weeks, they will be able to realize, though, that this sport is driven because of how good a player she is and how awesome she is. And everybody else can try at this point in time, but it's all about Caitlin Clark, and that's the only reason this league is registering anything right at this point in time.
No doubt about it. Bob Fesco, Nathan, Dusty with you as well here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. Coming up on the other side, we get to Start Bench Cut, brought to you by Jay's Southland Tow Service here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high-quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Did you know that it's proven that attractive people tend to like hot, spicy food? Yes, it's true. Hot people like hot food. Introducing 5-Hour Energy's new Spicy Cinco de Mango. This little shot is sweet, spicy, and a tad unhinged. Just like your favorite party guest. It hits with a bold chili flavor, then smooths things out with that juicy mango kick. Honestly, I tried it the other day, and wow, it brought the heat and the hype. Total game changer. Research even says more than half of spicy food fans think they're hot. And you know what? They're not wrong. Hot people like hot food. Get your spice on with 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango. Think you're hot? Prove it with this spicy mango shot. And yes, it even comes with hot sauce. Turn up the heat this Cinco de Mayo or any day because life's too short for bland. You're hot. Your energy shot should be too. Get energized. Get spicy. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is here for you. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is only available online for a limited time. Head to 5hourenergy.com to order yours today.